And I'd like for you to turn to the book of 1 John. One thing I want you to remember about me is that I like the book of 1 John. That's one of my favorite books, and it's got a lot of instruction in it. And so I thought it would be good if we walk through part of this tonight. And John, of course, is an old man. He's probably, maybe his late 70s, even up to 90, 92, 93 years old. And by that time, the Gnostics had come upon the scene. The word Gnostics means knowing ones. And they claimed to have additional revelation that they lived by. And they had a whole bunch of strange ideas. And like most religious groups, they divided into two or three different ways. And part of the idea was that with their body, they didn't necessarily serve God. But with their mind, they did. And as I said, they claimed to have supernatural revelation. And they were the knowing ones, and it was revealed either by angels or by spirit guides like people today. In fact, just about anything you find today that the New Age movement believes, that's pretty much what they believed. And so John wrote his book. He's called the Apostle of Love. And everybody talks about John's love. And ironically, he's one of the most stern, strictest persons in the New Testament writings about doctrine. And he's very, very, very blunt. Judaism, of course, after 70 AD, in the destruction of Jerusalem, that was kind of fading out. The Gentiles had come into the church. And with that, there was probably some Greek philosophy for which the Gnostics came from. And so there's a lot of new false teachers. And so what he's going to talk about in this first part of the book that we're going to look at tonight is, if you want fellowship with Christ, what do you have to do? Let's look at verses 1 through 4. If we're going to have fellowship with Christ, we have to listen to the teachings of the apostles. Listen to verses 1 through 3. That which was from the beginning, which you heard, which we have seen with our eyes, speaking of the apostles, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, John handled Jesus before he died, and John handled Jesus after he died. And he says, you keep that which you heard from the beginning. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it. And we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so he very plainly tells them here that the apostles seen Him, and they heard Him, and they bear witness to what they have seen and what they've heard. And if you want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to listen to the apostles. And he says, if you do, what will happen? These things write unto you that your joy may be full. If you want to have fellowship with Christ, you got to keep what you heard from the beginning. Now, the Gnostics weren't. The Gnostics was claiming new revelation. The Gnostics was claiming that angels was appearing to them, or spirit guides was appearing to them. And they also claimed that they were getting their messages from the stars. And he says, hey, if you want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, you got to continue in what we apostles have taught you. We saw Him, we heard Him, we handled Him, we're witnesses, and if you want to have fellowship with Christ, you got to pay attention to us. And that way, he says, your joy may be full. That's why Acts 2:42 says, on the day of Pentecost, they were converted, and then what happened to those people that kept what they heard from the beginning? They continued in the apostles' doctrine, our teaching, and the breaking of bread, and the fellowship, and prayers. And so in the fourth chapter, he says something that's rather interesting. He said, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And hereby we know the Spirit of God. Here's how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. See, the Gnostics denied that. The Gnostic says matter is evil. So there's no way God became a man, because matter is evil. And so he says, here's the way you test it. Do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, not of God. And that's that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, and because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. People that listen to the Gnostics, they're of the world, and they listen to what the Gnostics have to say. But we apostles, we are of God, and he that knoweth God continues to hear us. There's that ETH on the end of the word heareth. He continues to hear us. He that is not of God does not continue to hear us. And that's how you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Isn't that easy? You want to have fellowship with God? You have to continue in the apostles' doctrine. You have to continue listening and believing and practicing and following the illustrations and the examples of the apostles. If you don't, you cannot have fellowship with God, and your joy will not be full. Now, that doesn't only apply to Gnostics. That applies to people with creed books. That applies to churches that have rules of discipline. That applies to people who claims that their authority sits on a throne in Rome and can speak ex cathedra, that is, from the throne, and that what he says is the word of God. But if you want to have fellowship with Christ, you have to continue in what the apostle said. And if you hear them and obey them, you are of God. If you do not, you are not of God. If you change what the apostles say, if you baptize different than the way they baptized, for a different reason than they baptized, if you don't continue in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and in the fellowship with prayers, you're not of God. If you want to have fellowship with Christ, then you have to continue in the teachings of Jesus Christ. The church is built upon Jesus Christ, who's the cornerstone, but the apostles and prophets, those are the foundation of the church. And any church that's built on a foundation other than what Jesus said and the apostles said and the New Testament inspired prophets said is not of God. And they can't have fellowship with him. Well, that's kind of eye-opening, because the word fellowship means to share things in common. You don't share things in common with Jesus Christ if you do not continue in the apostles' doctrine. That's what's so important about restoration. That's why we talk to ourselves about being a part of the restoration movement, where we restore to the church, to the teachings and the practices. You've seen it many times on Sunday morning. Book, chapter, and verse for everything we believe and practice. No book but the Bible. No name but the divine. No Savior, of course, except Jesus Christ. No other book. Because here contains what the apostles and prophets taught. And if people don't continue, I can't think of a much better message to preach to a church that you're leaving than the fact, if you want to have fellowship with Jesus, you've got to continue in the apostles' doctrine. You don't need new ideas. That's what the Gnostics were doing. You don't need new revelations. Another place in John, he says, you have no need that anyone teach you. You don't need to hear something new. You have an unction of the Holy Spirit, and it's right here in this word is what they taught. And if you want to have fellowship with Christ, then you've got to continue in the apostles' doctrine. But you've got to do something else if you look back in chapter 1. This then is the message which you heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with them and with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You want to have fellowship with Christ? You have to walk in the light. Thy light, thy word is a light unto my path. We cannot walk in darkness. If we walk in darkness, we don't have fellowship with him. Our joy isn't full. And what else? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, doesn't cleanse us from all sin. So we have to walk in the light, because God has, there's no shadow of turning with God. God doesn't have the shadow. God is light, it's total brightness, and there is no darkness. And this is where we can have fellowship. This is when we can be cleansed by his blood. And in the Greek, it says it's in the continuing case, in the fact that he cleanseth. He continues to cleanse us from all sin. So you got to continue in the apostles' doctrine. You got to walk in the light and not into darkness. If you want to have fellowship with him and you want to continue to be cleansed of your sin, you have to walk in the light and not walk in darkness. The third thing you must not do if you want to have fellowship with Jesus Christ is you must not deceive yourself in denying who you are. And that's in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, if we want to continue to have fellowship with Christ, we got to continue to admit we're sinners. Those brethren among us who went off into this, I haven't sinned for 14 years, or give me 6 more months and I'll never sin again, and I am sinless, they're deceived. You can't have any fellowship with Christ, and you're certainly not teaching the apostles' doctrine if you've tried to say to yourself, I don't have any sin. Now, the guilt can be gone, but if a man says, I don't have any sin, he is deceiving himself, and the truth's not in him. Now look what John's already done. He's already said that we walk in darkness and we really are not walking in the light. We're liars. We lie. And we do not the truth. And now he's saying that we're deceived if we say that we have no sin. You can't have fellowship with God. I told you about the one man that told Kendall. And I was talking with this fellow, and Kendall was talking to him, and Kendall was just tying him up in fits. And so I finally asked him, I said, son, not son, because he wasn't my son, but he was a young man. And I said, how long do you think it'll be before you can stop sinning? You'll have no sin at all. You just totally stop sinning. Oh, probably give me 6 months. And Kendall said, oh, that'll be great. Then Jesus can just ring out. In other words, you won't need Jesus. Now, that man's a deceived person. And I'm 72 years old. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust anybody who can look me in the eye and say they don't have any sin. Number one, he's a liar. That's what that says. Number two, he's deceived. That's what it says. And number three, he don't even know himself. If a man doesn't know he's a sinner, he is deceived. Because I bet you I could line up five or six people that could start naming that guy's sins. He's self-deceived. I don't trust a man who thinks that there's going to come a time in this life, in this body, with these eyes, with this flesh, and with my ego or your ego. I don't trust anybody who says that I can be sinless. So if you want to have fellowship with Christ, you got to stop denying that you're sinless. And the fourth thing is, you got to confess your nature and even your specific sins. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. That means he's trustworthy and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. What do you expect God to do with a man that says that he's not sinned? He makes God a liar. What will God do to someone that calls him a liar? Obviously, his word is not in him. And so if you want to continue to have fellowship with Christ, you got to say, I'm a sinner. Remember the two men that went up in the temple to pray? And one said, oh, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are. And the other guy said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man went down to his house justified rather than the other. It's when we confess that we are sinners and when we confess our sin. I was talking in prayer meeting last week about this, and I pointed out that some people say we don't have to confess our sins because what Jesus did back there on the cross paid for it, and so now we don't have any sin. And they said there's not one example in the Bible where the Bible tells Christians to confess their sins. They even deny 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians. But he's talking to Christians, to people who are walking in the light, to people who are having fellowship with Jesus, to people whose sins have been covered by the blood of Christ. And he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to think about that a moment. If we don't have to confess our sins, we don't have to repent. Because if Jesus paid it all at the cross, and he did pay for it, he covered your sin, but the way we stay in this fellowship with Christ is if we are confessing our sins and if we are repenting of our sins. When Simon the sorcerer believed, it says this, that many of the people believed and were baptized. And Simon also believed and was baptized. Simon the sorcerer did what those other Samaritans did. It says they believed and they were baptized, and he says, the Acts writer says, and Simon himself also believed. He did what they did. They believed, he believed. They were baptized, he was baptized. He was a baptized believer. He was a forgiven man. And a few months later, or weeks later at least, we know that he tried to buy the gift of the power to give the Holy Spirit. And Peter told him to perish. With his money, because he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And what did he tell him to do? Repent. Therefore, if the wickedness of your heart might be forgiven, you're in the bond of iniquity. Here is a man who was a Christian, and he was told to repent. And so he confessed and asked that none of these things happen to him. See, what Peter was saying is, if you don't repent of what you just did, then you're not going to be forgiven. But if you do repent, you're going to be forgiven of this sin. And so the man confessed and repented, and as far as we know, God forgave him. down through history, they say when he went ahead and did some terrible things and founded the Nicolaitans. But the point of it is, Peter told a baptized believer to repent. So don't let anyone tell you that you don't have to repent. If you're going to have fellowship with Christ, you have to repent. And you have to confess. And if you do, then his blood will continue to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you say that you've not sinned, if you deny your very nature, if you deny you've not sinned, you make God a liar and his word's not in you. But there's something you got else to do. If you sin, we have an advocate. Listen to chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. I don't want you to sin. The fact that he commands them not to sin is proof that they can what? Sin. I never did tell my boys, I don't want you running and jumping over the top of the church building. Why? Because they can't. And so he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation. He's the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so, if we do sin, and we want to stay in fellowship with God, we have to do something. We have to remember we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the mercy seat. He's the one who covers our sins and anybody else in the world who will come to Christ. And so you have to not keep on sinning willfully. I've taught you many times, there is a difference between falling down and laying down. Some people stumble. And some people lay down. And he's saying, whichever one of those you did, if you want an advocate, you got one. And it's Jesus Christ, and he's the mercy seat. He's the propitiation. He's the blood covering for our sins. But there's something else that you have to do, verses 3-6. If you want to have fellowship with Christ, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and does not continue to keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. But whosoever continues to keep his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know we that are in him. All right, those verses plainly say, to know him, if we know him, we got to keep his commandments. If we don't keep his commandments, and yet we're saying, I know him. He says, we're liars. Now, for an apostle's love to keep saying, you're a liar, truth's not in you, and you're a liar again, or you lie, that don't sound like what people think is the apostle of love. But John says that more than any other writer. And yet he's called the apostle of love because he does speak quite often of loving one another. But he also calls people liars, not having the truth, not knowing God. And so if you want to keep having fellowship with God, you have to keep his commandments, keep his word. And if we keep his word, if we keep obeying him, what's happening? The love of God in us is perfected or matured. It's the person that keeps obeying God. That's the person that loves God, the person that keeps loving him. Look over in the fifth chapter Whoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loves him that was begotten. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I get sick and tired of people talking about you don't love people, you don't love people, who doesn't love people? How is the love of God perfected? When we keep his commandments. And what does he say there in that fifth chapter? He says, this is how we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You do not love God if you do not keep his commandments. If you don't warn people, if you don't talk to people, if you don't try to change people, you don't love people. If you don't love people, you don't love God. And if you want to have fellowship with God, you've got to continue to obey him. You have to continue to keep his commandments. And what else must we do? Look at verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you want to have fellowship with Christ, you got to walk as he walked. You got to follow his example. You got to be like him. The word godly means godlike. And if you're not godlike, then obviously you're not walking like he walked. But if you walk like he walked, then you have fellowship. What's the Bible say about Jesus? He went around doing good. And if you don't go around doing good, if your bowels are not moved with compassion to help people, if you don't try to deliver sinners out of the error of their ways, you're not like Jesus. You're not walking like he walked. Oh, you can be compassionate to a woman caught in adultery. But you better be like Jesus and say, go and sin no more. Or you're not like Jesus. You're not walking like Jesus walked. Christ rebuked. You read the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew sometime. You generations of vipers, you snakes, you hypocrites. How in the world can you escape the damnation of hell? I've never talked to anybody like that. Jesus did. But if we just say somebody shouldn't do that, if we just simply say that's wrong, if we call sin by its first name, oh, you don't love people. Oh, I don't love people. If I walk like Jesus walked, I never have walked into a church and saw an idol and tipped it over and broke it. I've never walked into a church where people were selling indulgences and picked up some cords and wound them together and drive those people out for going into the confession box and confessing to some man their sins. I never done that. Jesus was a lot harsher than I am. And if a person is going to be Jesus' disciple, he needs to walk like Jesus walked. He needs to call sin what Jesus calls sin. And if he doesn't, there's no use him saying, I know him. I get tired of people saying, do you know him? I mean, do you really know him? Man, that irks me. If you really know him, you keep his commandments. In fact, ETH, he continues to keep his commandments. And if he doesn't, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. That's John, the apostle of love, talking. So if you want to have fellowship with Christ, you got to keep his commandments and you got to walk like he walked. But in verses 7 through 11 of that same chapter, you got to do something else. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he's in the light, and remember, if you don't walk in the light and you're in darkness, you have no fellowship with him. He that is in the light and continues to hate his brother is in darkness even now. And he that continues to love his brother continues to abide in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that continues to hate his brother is in darkness, and he walks in darkness, and he doesn't know where he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. If you're going to have fellowship with Christ, since he's walking in the light, if you want to walk in the light, you can't hate your brother. Because if you hate your brother, you are not walking in the light, you are abiding in darkness. In fact, if you continue to love your brother and you continue to abide in the light, verse 10, there's no occasion of stumbling in you. That word stumble, or the idea of occasion of stumbling, is the word offend. I don't mean you offended me because you didn't like my new hat. I'm talking about you caused someone to stumble. If you love your brother, you make sure there's nothing in your life that causes him to stumble. You don't do anything that causes him to do something that violates his conscience. If you violate his conscience, the Bible says you sin against him. If you get him to do what he thinks is wrong, it says you sin against him. And if you sin against him, 1 Corinthians says you sin against Christ. So if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, you're loving your brother and you're making sure there isn't anything in you that's going to cause someone else to stumble. Is there anything wrong with eating honey? No. In fact, the Bible says to eat honey. The Bible says honey's good for you. But one day King Saul said, don't anybody eat anything until the battle's over. But his son Jonathan didn't hear that command. And he has his sword and he sees some honey and honeycomb on the ground and he goes, and they said, Jonathan, your father straightly charged us not to eat anything. And he said, that's silly. Nothing wrong with eating honey. See how my eyes are enlightened? And when the king's son ate honey and said there wasn't anything wrong with it, when his father had said not to eat honey, it caused the people to fly upon the spoil. That meant the sheep and the oxen and all the things that they had taken in the war, and they took them and killed them and ate them without cooking them. That was forbidden, to eat raw meat. Nothing wrong with eating honey. Jonathan should say, oh, I didn't hear my father. I'm sorry. I apologize for this. If Dad said not to eat honey, we shouldn't eat honey. He's the king. We ought to obey the king. But instead, he said, man, if you guys would have eaten some honey, if we'd have eaten something, you see how my eyes are enlightened? We would have won this war a whole long time ago. Nothing wrong with eating honey. But he caused all Israel to stumble and eat what was forbidden. And if you want to walk in the light as he is in the light, you walk like he walked, and you make sure there's no occasion of stumbling. Peter, does your master pay taxes? Yeah, I think so. And so he came in, said, Jesus, they want to know if we're going to pay the temple tax. And he said, well, who pays taxes? Children or the children, the sons, or someone else? He said, well, children don't pay taxes. Jesus was God's son. He was the true temple. But he said, nevertheless, to keep them from stumbling, go out and catch a fish and draw the coin out of its mouth and pay the taxes for you and for me. He didn't know it. He was God, and he was God's son on earth. But to keep someone from stumbling, He paid taxes. No one would listen to me if I didn't pay my taxes. If I was a tax dodger, you'd have nothing to do with me. I pay my taxes. I personally don't think the 16th Amendment was ever signed properly. I don't really think income taxes are legal. But I'm not going to go to jail for it. And I'm going to tell the truth on that application that I send in there. And I'm going to pay my taxes because I don't want anybody to stumble. And I don't want to lose my influence for Jesus Christ. I'm walking as he walked. And if you love your brother, there isn't anything in your life. I don't care if it's drinking or smoking or what, dirty movies or dirty talk or dirty jokes or what it is. If you love your brother, there's no occasion of stumbling in you. You don't do anything that causes your brother to do something that he thinks is wrong. And if you want to have fellowship with Christ, that's the way you got to live. You got to love the brother. Darkness is past. And so if you hate your brother, you're in darkness, and it says you have no fellowship with God if you hate your brother. I don't care if you come to church 3 times a week. I don't care how much money you put in the offering plate, and I don't care how often you commune. If you hate your brother, you are in darkness. If you hate your brother, you do not have any fellowship with the Father. And if you don't have any fellowship with the Father, your joy can't be full, and the blood of Jesus Christ does not cleanse you from your sins. And then there's something else you got to do in verse 15. Verses 12 through 14 are parenthetical. The next thing you got to do is, if you're going to walk in the light, you must love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. For all that is in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, ego. That's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth, continues to do the will of God, abides forever. You can't love the world and have fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can't love the world and the blood of Jesus Christ continue to cleanse you from sin. If you follow the lust of your flesh and you follow the lust of your eyes and if you follow your ego, wouldn't it be great if I had that? Wouldn't people think I was great? See, that's what causes us to sin. What my flesh wants, what my eye wants, and what my ego wants, those are the things that causes me to sin. So I got to learn not to do that. I got to crucify myself and the lusts thereof and stop loving the world, loving what my flesh loves and loving what my eyes want and loving the praises of men and having a big ego. Because he says, it's that person who continues to do the will of God that continues to abide in him. And then there's something else you got to do here in verses 18 through 23. Little children, it's the last time, and you've heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. See, John considered himself 2,000 years ago living in the last time. There was a patriarchal age, and there was the Mosaical age, and then the Christian age is the last time. The Bible teaches in Hebrews 1 that in old times God spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we're in the last times, and he said, now you've heard Antichrist has come, but I got news for you. There's not one, there's many, and it's not future, it's now. Already, many. These are the last times. And so you got to keep in mind that there are false teachers out there in the world. And so he says, they went out from us, those Gnostics, but they went not of us, for they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest or evident that they were not all of us. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, because the apostles have revealed it. I've not written unto you because you do not know the truth, because you know it, and that no lies are the truth. Those Gnostics are giving you new supposed truth. But no, no, you already know these things. I'm not writing you anything new. I'm telling you what I told you from the beginning. So who's a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So let that therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. And if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you will continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he's promised us, even eternal life. You don't need any new revelation. You need to continue to listen to the apostles. You need to continue in the things that we taught you from the beginning. We handled him, we saw him, and we told you what we heard and what we saw. And you continue in that, and you can have fellowship with him. But if you've got to get some new doctrine, you've got to get some new teaching, and you don't continue in the things which you heard from the beginning, you don't have any fellowship with the Father. And that's what he tells them. Beware of false teachers. Avoid them. And then one other thing here. Let what you've been taught abide. Let therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. That's what he started out with. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and the Father. See, the Gnostics denied that Jesus was the Christ who came in the flesh. They're Antichrist. Anybody who denies that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. That's your next door neighbor. That's your father-in-law. That's your mother-in-law. If they're not believers that Jesus is the Christ. Don't let anybody give you anything different than what the apostles gave. They're the eyewitnesses. Some dingbat comes along and says, and I believe the world is X millions of billions of years ago, and this soup turned into this, and this turned into that, and the little amoebas came, and then it evolved. And now me, I'm not going to believe them. They aren't eyewitnesses. My witness was there. Jesus was there. I'm going to believe the person that was there and did it, not somebody 6,000 years later that says, that's not the way it was done. It's millions and millions of years old. I'm not going to believe them. I'm going to believe the eyewitness. They're not eyewitnesses. Jesus is an eyewitness. So you continue to believe what you heard from the beginning. Then you'll continue in the Son and in the Father. And that Spirit will teach you, and you can abide in him. Verse 27 says, these things I have written in you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him continues to abide in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And you don't need that any man teach you, that is some new thing, but the same anointing continues to teach you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in them. You want to have fellowship with Christ? Continue to believe the apostles and don't listen for new things. Don't be misled by people who claim to have knowledge from angels or from spirit guides or from astrology or from crystal or pyramids or anything else like New Age does. Believe the Word of God. So here's the conclusion. How do you have fellowship with God? You must be conscious of the fact that you're a sinner. And you must confess your sins to God. I'm talking to Christians. And you got to accept the fact that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb and is the propitiation for your sins. And you got to obey him in deed and in word. And you got to walk as he walked. And you must not be allowing yourself to be led astray by false teachers. To have fellowship with God requires that you not walk in darkness. To have fellowship with God means you do not hate your brother. To have fellowship with God, there can be no lying or falsehood. And to have fellowship with God, you cannot love the world. And so verse 7 in verse 1 is one continuous sentence. Listen to it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, continues to cleanse us from all sin. That is the full efficacy of Christ's blood. Union with him that not only cleanses us, but unites us all together. Let's pray. Father, we want to walk in the light. We want to have fellowship with Jesus. We want our sins forgiven. And hearing this and knowing that we're walking that way fulfills our joy. We're happy. We got a clear conscience. By faith, we know our sins are forgiven. By faith, we know that what Jesus did on the cross paid for our sins, and that we know that though we're sinners, you loved us while we were sinners, and you died for us that we could have eternal life. Help us to walk in the light and walk as Jesus walked so we can have fellowship with him. In Jesus' name, amen.